And we are back at the IAC Pavilion on the fly. Jay Monchi and Mike Huer is here with me, president of the IAC, and we're talking to Gary Dubon. He's the contest director for the U.S. National Airbag Championships. And you actually answered a question before I had to ask it there, Gary, and that was what the different levels are in the competition. So from there, let's continue on the...
Okay, there's some other folks that we do have involved. We have a registrar that will meet all of the pilots and take of all their information and the money.
Yep.
And they'll get us set up. We have a chief technical monitor. The purpose of the chief technical monitor, of course, is to look at all of the airplanes as they come in to make sure that they are safe to fly.
Uh-huh.
And we're really adamant that we have a good tech monitor to look at these airplanes. Usually an A&P and has an inspector authorization, somebody who knows aerobatic airplanes upside down. We have to have that so we have safe airplanes flying in the contest. We have a starter, and the starter's job is to get the airplane started on time and get them in the air when they're supposed to be in the air so that we won't have any delays in the contest. We have a scoring director that does all of the scoring in a room through the computer. Usually we have a videographer, but that's only for the nationals who videos only the flights of the people that are trying out for the team for that year.
Okay.
Just in case a problem arises, we can go back and look at the video to make sure we're not making any mistakes. And we usually have a photographer that does all the photography work. As you've seen, we had Evan Pierce just take our picture a minute ago. He's our IAC photographer, and he'll be at the nationals this year doing all of that type of work.
Okay.
A few more people that I should mention that we use. That's it for all of our folks. What I want to say about volunteers, you can come to a contest and you do not have to be a pilot to be a volunteer for the contest. We have so many people in this organization who do not fly. They simply come to the contest and they help us out in all of these positions that we need to fill. So you don't have to be a pilot to be involved in the IAC. We have a lot of people like that, and they really enjoy the work, and we need those people. We have to have those people to get it done.
I have a feeling a lot of them are probably spouses.
A lot of them are yes, I would say probably.
We have to give 60%. A shout out to the spouses.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. So the nationals come about, and everyone heads to Texas. I heard a rumor that we might not be in Texas much longer.
That's correct. This is our very last year down in Texas. We've been down there for about 42 years or so, I believe, at the North Texas Regional Airport. We're sad to leave. It's been a great run down there. We have a lot of great people that have helped us out down there over the years. We're going to thank them this year at the banquet. So we have to leave. What has happened is that the airport has just got too much traffic now, and they end up shutting us down on our advanced and unlimited flights to get other traffic to come through.
Okay.
And it just slows down the contest so much that we just barely got it in last year. Yeah. We just barely got the whole thing in.
So it's all about logistics, right?
It is. It is. Yeah. And so we've made the decision, or Mike has made the decision, the IAC has made the decision to move to Oshkosh. So we're coming home, basically.
Yep.
Mike is the one that went through most of that process to get it here to Oshkosh, and he might want to say a few more things about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in fact, I don't know, but the last aerobatic contest we had here, well, first of all, there was a regional contest here in 2013 that was organized by Audra Hoy, who's Paul Poberesny's granddaughter.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
yeah. So there's still that aerobatic connection with the family. But anyway, before that, the last major championships that had been held here was the World Aerobatic Championships in 1980. And that's quite an interesting story in itself. But we had the World Championships here. Again, countries, pilots came from all over the world, with the exception of the East Europeans and the Soviets. And again, it was a political thing. In 1980, some of our historical memories will kick in here, you'll remember that the United States boycotted the Moscow Olympics that year.
Mm.
And so the Soviets decided to retaliate against us and not send their pilots over here to fly in our world championships in Oshkosh.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it's funny how the larger political situation in the world even trickles down to our activities here. But anyway, that's all changed. The Cold War has gone away, and now the Russians are our, you know, really our friends at these championships.
Well, and here we are in Poland this year.
Yeah, right? Well, now we're going. Now the team's going to Poland next year, to South Africa. Last year they were in France.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, we a lot of travel, but I think that the value of bringing a nationals here, and then later on, we can certainly think about having another world championship.
That would be
here.
Fantastic. Yeah.
The value of it is the tremendous goodwill that it creates for us internationally, because the you know, in this country we have the largest, of course, the largest aviation community in the world, but also by far the largest aerobatic community.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for example, the British, their association has about 120 members. We have 4,000. So, and we've got this, as Gary mentioned, about 35 regional contests all over. So we got a lot of things going on, and we know how to do things. So we'd be delighted maybe one day, again, to repeat that 1980 experience, but this time without a Cold War going on.
Yes.
And having a World Championships here in Oshkosh.
That would be fantastic. I think we should talk to some pilots. Don't you think we should talk to some pilots?
We've got to talk to.
We've got Jim Burke over here, and Jim's an IAC member and an unlimited competitor. And Jim and I were chatting before the show. And he's actually an ex-radio guy, so it's kind of cool to have him on the show, Jim.
I think he knows what to do with that microphone.
Yeah. Stare at it deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you had indicated that we could talk about a little bit about how a pilot goes about going from ground floor, you know, just starting out, to the unlimited level, which is where you are now.
Yeah, well, it's a journey. And it it takes a lot of commitment. And the trick of it is to move up in category when you're ready for the training commitment of the next category. So typically what happens is a person starts out, and they have an interest in aerobatics. They get some basic aerobatic training. And during that time, their instructor will usually tell them, hey, you should consider competing, join the IAC. And the usual first step would be to join in on the primary level, which is a pretty simple set of figures, just basically loops and rolls and things. Some people skip that level and start at the sportsman level, which is the second level, which is a lot more significant commitment. But from there, you can continue as much as you want, as much as your airplane will let you continue, or as much as your interest allows you to. And to me, you're ready to move on as long as you're ready to commit to the training of the next level. It takes much more training, consistent, regular practice to fly at the higher levels. The jump between primary and sportsman is not very large. The jump between sportsman and intermediate is about the same. But once you go from intermediate to advanced, that's a very large jump.
So then let's take the opportunity to talk about the difference between intermediate and advanced.
Okay, well, intermediate is, so let's start with primary. Primary has loops and rolls, basically. Sportsman adds some figures that are called like hammerheads, which you might be familiar with. We call that a stall turn also, where the aircraft goes and pivots the yaw axis. Yep. And some other interesting figures. At the intermediate level, we begin to add things like snap rolls, which are like a little more load on the aircraft and on the pilot. When we get to the advanced level, significantly what we add there is outside figures, where we're pushing very high negative Gs. So we might have a figure that requires -3 or -4, even -5 Gs.
So you're looking at a much more advanced airplane, too.
A more advanced airplane. Also, it just is harder on the pilot. I wouldn't say that it isn't fun. It's a lot of fun. But there's a little bit of pain associated with negative Gs, and you have to be a kind of person who thinks that's fun.
Okay.
So, yeah, and it
so
also,
you have to be a masochist to be outside aerobatic pilot.
Starting at the advanced level, just a bit of a masochist, but significantly at advanced is where you really have to have a commitment to regular practice. It's hard to just kind of jump in and say, "I'm going to go fly an advanced contest." So
right.
Advanced is where the commitment begins, and then from there, moving to unlimited. My feeling is from advanced to unlimited is not as big of a jump as from intermediate to advanced. And unlimited is much more commitment required because the figures are so technical. But they're about the same on your physiology, about the same load in your physiology as advanced. So we might have, maybe we'd be doing negative Gs. We'd start a figure at level flight and push and do a loop, an outside loop from upright all the way around. That takes a lot of commitment because once you start that, you can't stop doing it, right? Obviously.
Yep.
So that's what the hallmark of unlimited is just it takes a lot of commitment and a pretty high horsepower machine to enjoy it.
Yep. And then you have this free.
Right. Well, this year we have a new thing at the Nationals, which would be a Freenone, which comes over from the SIVA organization, which is the International Aerobatic Body. And are you talking about the Free or the Freestyle? I guess I should ask first. We have both those things.
Oh, let's talk about both.
Okay, well, the Free is a program that you make yourself that conforms a certain set of rules, and everyone has to fly that. The Freestyle is a four-minute time program set to music with smoke. It's very much like airshow flying, though it's scored by judges on the ground. It conforms to certain rules, but it's artistic in presentation, and that's a lot of fun. And that's something you pretty much only can do if you fly unlimited. It's one of the reasons I wanted to fly unlimited, because I really love the Freestyle.
You wanted to develop your own program.
Oh, it's so fun, yeah. It's a lot like flying an air show, and you get to do whatever you feel like you can do. You get to show off what the plane can do, and you get to pick some things. You don't want to do what everyone else is doing, so you're kind of forced to take some things that maybe you find other people aren't doing or have forgotten about, or you just avoid the stuff that everyone likes to do and try and do things that are weird, because... It looks more interesting.
Well, when we return from this break, we'll dive into that just a little bit more, if you will. J-Mon-G, we're on the fly. We're down at the IAC Pavilion. You're listening to EAA Radio.